WBZ H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Hurricane Helene blamed for at least 91 deaths across Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, and Tennessee. Millions remain without power across 10 states, Florida to Indiana. Israel bombing Houthi military sites in Yemen Sunday, opening up a third front in the Middle East on top of the war against the militant organizations Hamas and Hezbollah in Gaza and Lebanon.
Prime Minister Netanyahu speaking at a press conference saying everyone sees the price paid by those who attack us. On Saturday, a Houthi spokesperson saying their attacks will continue, quote, until the aggression against Gaza and Lebanon stops.
ABC's Marcus Moore in Beirut. Vice President Kamala Harris returned to Nevada, touting her plan to support small businesses. At a Pennsylvania rally, former President Trump suggesting that violent policing would put an end to retail shoplifting, said one rough hour of law enforcement would deter retail theft. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A downsized Trump rally in southwest Wisconsin. The Republican nominee for president wanted to campaign outdoors Saturday at the Prairie du Chien Airport, but the rally got moved to an indoor performing arts center that seats 650. It's because several Secret Service agents were providing security at the United Nations General Assembly meetings in New York. The disgraced former chancellor of UW-La Crosse is fired again, this time from his teaching job. Jimmy Kuska has the latest on Joe Gao.
Gao was fired as chancellor in December after UW officials learned he was producing and appearing in online pornography. Earlier this year, a UW-La Crosse panel recommended removing Gao from his faculty position. The Board of Regents listened to 45 minutes of discussion before making the decision in closed session. I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers fall to 2-2. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Minnesota led Green Bay 28-0 at the half, but the Packers were able to move the ball and put up points in the second half before falling short against the Vikings 31-29. Quarterback Jordan Love said they didn't do enough to win.
We just didn't make plays. I think did not play well enough, personally me. And, you know, accuracy was a little bit off, a little bit shaky, and was definitely making it hard on some of the guys, which just led to us, you know, getting off the field early and not being able to put up points.
Green Bay heads to L.A. to play the Rams on Sunday. The Milwaukee Brewers are off today as they await their postseason opponent. The Mets and Braves play a doubleheader today to determine postseason seeding. A sweep by either team means the Brewers get Arizona. A split means Milwaukee faces the Mets tomorrow. First pitch is just after 4:30 in Milwaukee tomorrow. And after dropping two games, the 2-2 Badgers host Purdue on Saturday with an 11 a.m. kickoff. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Kuska with Civic Media Sports.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
One more warm day today, mostly sunny, breezy, with a high in the upper 70s to near 80 this afternoon. Tonight, a cold front comes through, breezy, clear, low of 43. Tomorrow, sunny and a lot colder, with a high of only 61. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking. What's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, State Senator Kel DeRoy's on how Republicans just keep digging a bigger hole when it comes to women's reproductive health care rights.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
AM Zone.
Morning and welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. It felt good not to be the only one awake in the wee hours of the morning. The lights were on at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison when I drove by, where even at 2 o'clock in the morning, the cows at World Dairy Expo need looking after. So shout out to everyone on night duty in the barns. We have results from competitions that happened this weekend at World Dairy Expo, and we'll share those later in the hour. I'll tell you what, though, keeping animals comfortable and cool might be a challenge today. We're going to see a high of 81 on this last day of September. It might just be our last 80-degree day for the year. The forecast isn't showing me anything higher than the mid-70s over the next few weeks. We'll hear all about it from our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck, later in the hour. Also this morning, we'll head over to UW-Platteville as researchers take a closer look at the gases from a dairy cow. You and I might otherwise call them cow burps. We'll visit with a grain buyer from Exonia who has an update amidst the soybean harvest. But that's not the only harvest going on right now. Corn silage is also coming off the ground, and this year's crop quality might have you adding different ingredients to the feed ration. We'll talk about it with a dairy nutritionist. But first, a group of Wisconsin farmers just returned from Washington, D.C. will head to the northern end of the world's longest barn to catch up on what they learned from our national representatives. Stay tuned.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
It's fall, and that means lots of farm organizations spend time in Washington, D.C., lobbying members of Congress on lots of issues. Earlier this month, 25 members of the Wisconsin Farmers Union made that trip. I'm Bob Osel at the northern end of the world's longest barn discussing some of those issues with Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union and a member of the National Farmers Union Board. As you might expect, the new farm bill, topic number one.
What we would like to see is the right farm bill, not just a farm bill. And certainly looking at the current proposals between the two different sides, you got the House Republican farm bill and then the Senate Democratic farm bill, which we haven't seen the actual text of that yet, but there's been an outline of what's coming on. You know, there just has been some language in the House version that the Senate has said it's non-starter. So until you change, we're going to stay where we're at. And once you have that change made or are willing to negotiate, then we'll talk. Looking down the road, what does that look like? You know, are we going to have something happen here in the next 2 weeks when the farm bill kind of officially is done?
The extension of the farm bill.
The extension of the farm bill, correct. So are they going to pass an extension before that? Probably not. There isn't enough calendar days left to get that done, and trying to make sure that the country can still, or the government can still operate, that's kind of a little bit more important right now. So probably we're looking at a lame duck session movement on the farm bill, but that's even really being questioned. So probably looking at certainly an extension being signed during the lame duck to make that process continue forward so we have funding for the critical programs that we have in the Farm Bill.
When you talk to the Republican members of the House, they pass it in the committee. The Republicans rule the House, or are the leaders in the House. Why hasn't it come up for a vote on the House floor yet?
Speculation on my part. Certainly what we heard in D.C. was there probably isn't enough votes in the House to actually pass the Farm Bill at that level. There's a lot of question marks on a few different things. Of course, there's a whole bunch of Republicans that want to reduce the nutrition title, take dollars away from that. Democrats are fighting for more conservation dollars and trying to keep those conservation dollars that are there right now in there. And then you have the whole crop insurance thing that, you know, I think has a lot of small farms and small business owners around the country are a little worried too, because it's going to open up the ability for big farms to get larger and larger amounts of money, and therefore that's leaving less and less available for the average farmer.
Clean energy issues and climate smart agriculture have been a product of the Biden administration, and it's run into some opposition in Congress. Some people want to get some of that in the Farm Bill. Status of that?
That's going to depend on the election, I think. Certainly if we have a Democratic majority, that process will move through the both houses a little bit faster and get that out there. And certainly looking at with President Biden's visit here to Westby a couple weeks ago and announcing more of those dollars that are available for renewable energy, that's something that is building right now, so let's keep building on that. Let's not stop the train when it's moving.
What was that like for you? I saw the replay of that, and you got to introduce the President of the United States. That's pretty high cotton.
Yeah, it is. You know, standing here talking to Bob Bozell, that's a pleasure too, but certainly, it's a true honor to be able to introduce the sitting President of the United States of America. And he has had a long career, and it's, coming to an end, which is, in some people's opinion, not the best way to do it, but, he certainly has been a president of the people. And as I said in my speech, too, he's a regular Joe. Conversations I've had with him the three or four times that I've met with him now, he's very common sense and down to earth on what really is happening in this country.
Getting back to the Farm Bill and maybe some legislation, anybody in the country knows right now that with the commodity prices we've got for corn and soybeans, milk is getting a little better. But income is in a desperate situation for a lot of these commodity growers. There's been talk about speeding up some of these ARC, PLC payments. What kind of a feeling, if at all, did you get from talking to the members of Congress out there and members of the administration?
Well, I certainly want to make sure that if it gets to a point where it gets very desperate, that actions will be taken. Right now, the discussion between the House and the Senate is, can we include both the PLC and the ALP so that farmers don't have to choose one or the other in the beginning. Let them have that option throughout the growing season so that way they can take advantage of the program that's going to help them the best versus having dollars set there that aren't being used. And then how do you control commodity prices in a free market system that we are? It's really hard to do that from the governing sense, but there also is the ability to make sure that there's competition out there, and that's something that we're certainly seeing with the Biden administration is holding the multinational companies and corporations accountable for some of their actions.
Darren Von Ruden with us, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, just returning from Washington, D.C. with a group talking to members of Congress. And Darren, one word that sends a shudder through every farmer's bib overalls is the word tariff. Do they understand what tariffs mean to rural Wisconsin, rural America?
Well, I don't think everybody does. And certainly we're still feeling the effects of the trade wars of the late 2010s. We still haven't built some of those markets back up. That's why we're currently in a trade deficit on agriculture versus where we have been over the decades of having a surplus there. Folks and countries need our products in those countries. But when the tariff war started, agriculture was the first one to be hit, and we've been the hardest hit, and we're still feeling those impacts yet. And so, yes, tariffs are needed for certain things, but to just have an all-out tariff war on countries that we need to have relationships with, let's think about it and do it right versus just doing things in an unforeseen manner.
You mentioned right off the bat some of the differences between the two parties as far as the Farm Bill. And feeding programs seem to always be in the bullseye. What are we seeing as far as the possibility of some drastic cuts to pay for some of the things that the Republican Farm Bill calls for versus cutting $29, $30 billion from feeding programs? Will that ever fly?
Yeah, you know, it won't, especially in the Democratic-controlled Senate. Certainly is that's a non-starter. The nutrition programs and the food stamp bill, which everybody is so concerned about, there's not too many people that I've run into that don't know of somebody that's actually been taking advantage of those programs. They're a vital need for the country. If you make cuts to that program, you're actually taking money out of farmers' hands, out of rural communities' hands, because 14 cents of every dollar comes directly back to the farmer, and those dollars then get spent in that rural community. So any dollar that's cut from the nutrition title is actually taking money away from farmers and rural communities.
And one of the things that we talked about, or you guys talked about when you were in Washington, D.C., a memo of understanding, get the feedback of family farmers and ranchers when interacting with agencies like the Farm Service Agency. What's that all about? What are you trying to do?
Just trying to make sure that the Farm Service Agency has the ability to work directly with farmers. As things have changed and timing, numbers of employees in some of the offices or offices being closed, which means that farmers have to travel farther to get there. You know, the computer system is getting updated now, thanks to Secretary Ducheneau helping with making sure that the programs are actually able to be used. And for instance, the loan program, it used to be a 40-page document. It's down to 13 or 16 pages now. A lot easier for the average farmer to fill out and take advantage of and be able to use. So, you know, those are the things that farmers are wanting to be able to have those more direct connections and working with the FSA staff.
And the bottom line is you left Washington, D.C., your final impressions. As we stand here now, election is very close. Things tend to grind to a halt before an election. Anything going to get done as far as agriculture before the lame duck?
Today, there's probably not anything going to happen on the farm bill because there's just too much inaction, would be the right word, to between the two bodies out there that are controlling that. And so we're definitely looking at a lame duck session. It'd be really nice if I was proven wrong on that and actually get a farm bill that would get moving forward. But that's certainly the way it looks right now. It's everybody's in that election year politics, and let's try to make everything look a little bit better than it is.
2023 Farm Bill is rapidly becoming the 2025 Farm Bill, or maybe worse?
Well, it could be worse. You know, I think the election is going to have a big impact on what happens there. Certainly, if we continue to have a divided Congress and Senate, it's going to make the process a little bit harder. But hopefully they can come to their senses and get something done early in 25 to make sure that it's a 2025 Farm Bill.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And again, the challenges we face in Washington, we're still facing them. I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Vanderloo, the head of OEC Group, an expert in transatlantic trade and tariffs, will get all wonky with me. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
3276, or easier to remember, 877-301-FARM. And speaking of World Dairy Expo, it'll be a warm one today. It's time now for your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with Stu Muck. And Stu, usually the last day of September isn't for shorts and a tank top, but today it just might be.
It sure seems like it's going to be, Stephanie. I mean, we'll be in the 80s. I was at an outdoor wedding on Saturday, and we all commented, it's not supposed to be this warm at the end of September.
I'm supposed to be wearing a sweater to work this time of year.
Yeah, but that's it. A sweater, the hoodie to get you in the morning, and then you forget where you put it later on in the day, and you can't find it tomorrow. That's how it works out. Not this year. Very mild weather still in store today, but low pressure has just started edging into central North Dakota. Very scattered light rain up on the U.S.-Canadian border and further up into southern Canada. We're going to watch that cool front out ahead of it. Another warm, sunny day today. Some fog in northwest and north central Wisconsin, even in the western edge of the state. Watch for that. But I expect that weak front to pass through. What it will do is turn winds to the northwest already late today and tonight in western Wisconsin. And by early tomorrow in the east, and with those north breezes, we stay cooler. Cooler, in fact, right down to normal or a bit below as we look at the day Tuesday. The rain chance is very slight, mostly in the north. And then otherwise, a cool day for Tuesday. Sunny and slowly starting to warm up by Wednesday and Thursday. Back up to normal, back up in the 70s, in fact, for later in the week. And a pretty good chance we stay dry until just a small possibility on toward late Thursday night. I really expect a pretty dry spell here right through the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Thanks, Stu. And I'll take this time to remind some people that we do have the Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. This is going on now through November 1st, so you have until November 1st to sign up for that. Stu, I am having a technical difficulty. I can't go to commercial today, so you and I can continue talking about this week's forecast. What I can tell people is that there's no sprinkles, and that is one thing I think we can all agree on, that we don't want any rain at World Dairy Expo this week.
I think we're going to be in good shape there, Stephanie. Let's look at our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Forecast. And although there may be a little patchy fog in the west and northwest, I hear over on the Lake Michigan shore as well this morning, otherwise expect a sunny day. And for a lot of us, it'll be up around and into the low 80s, maybe upper 70s in far northwest Wisconsin. And winds through the day gradually becoming south right ahead of that little front at about 5 overnight. Clear in the south, more clouds in the west and north, and I think Park Falls, Eau Claire, maybe Wausau could see a little sprinkle tonight as that cool front passes. That's about it. Dropping into the low 50s, even upper 40s up north, and the winds 5 to 15 becoming northwest as we head through the night and on toward tomorrow morning. Sunny, breezy, cooler Tuesday. A lot of mid-60s in the south, even upper 50s in the far north. And the northwest winds 10 to 20. They'll even gust up at around 30 miles per hour. Sunny Wednesday, it starts to improve. Upper 60s in the north, low 70s south. Southwest winds 5 to 15. Even on toward Thursday and Friday, Stephanie, I'd say World Dairy Expo, we're talking low to mid-70s for highs. Should be fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much. Stu Muck is our ag meteorologist today. Again, let us know if you're headed to World Dairy Expo through our talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM. Enjoy the weather today. And don't forget about that Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. You can find the application details at MidwestFarmReport.com. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. You can visit compeer.com.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Hurricane Helene blamed for at least 91 deaths across Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, and Tennessee. Millions remain without power across 10 states, Florida to Indiana. Israel bombing Houthi military sites in Yemen Sunday, opening up a third front in the Middle East on top of the war against the militant organizations Hamas and Hezbollah in Gaza and Lebanon.
Prime Minister Netanyahu speaking at a press conference saying everyone sees the price paid by those who attack us. On Saturday, a Houthi spokesperson saying their attacks will continue, quote, until the aggression against Gaza and Lebanon stop.
ABC's Marcus Moore in Beirut. Vice President Kamala Harris returned to Nevada, touting her plan to support small businesses. At a Pennsylvania rally, former President Trump suggesting that violent policing would put an end to retail shoplifting, said one rough hour of law enforcement would deter retail theft. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A downsized Trump rally in southwest Wisconsin. The Republican nominee for president wanted to campaign outdoors Saturday at the Prairie du Chien Airport. But the rally got moved to an indoor performing arts center that seats 650. It's because several Secret Service agents were providing security at the United Nations General Assembly meetings in New York. The disgraced former chancellor of UW-La Crosse is fired again, this time from his teaching job. Jimmy Cuska has the latest on Joe Gao.
Gao was fired as chancellor in December after UW officials learned he was producing and appearing in online pornography. Earlier this year, a UW-La Crosse panel recommended removing Gao from his faculty position. The Board of Regents listened to 45 minutes of discussion before making the decision in closed session. I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers fall to 2-2. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Minnesota led Green Bay 28-0 at the half, but the Packers were able to move the ball and put up points in the second half before falling short against the Vikings 31-29. Quarterback Jordan Love said they didn't do enough to win.
We just didn't make plays. I think did not play well enough, personally me. And, you know, accuracy was a little bit off, a little bit shaky, and was definitely making it hard on some of the guys, which just led to us, you know, getting off the field early and not being able to put up points.
Green Bay heads to L.A. to play the Rams on Sunday. The Milwaukee Brewers are off today as they await their postseason opponent. The Mets and Braves play a doubleheader today to determine postseason seeding. A sweep by either team means the Brewers get Arizona. A split means Milwaukee faces the Mets tomorrow. First pitch is just after 4:30 in Milwaukee tomorrow. And after dropping two games, the 2-2 Badgers host Purdue on Saturday with an 11 a.m. kickoff. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, very excited to have Lee McGowan, the politics girl, is going to join us as we break down the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
One more warm day today, mostly sunny, breezy, with a high in the upper 70s to near 80 this afternoon. Tonight, a cold front comes through, breezy, clear, low of 43. Tomorrow, sunny and a lot colder, with a high of only 61. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The spotlight will focus on Governor Tim Walz and Senator J.D. Vance Tuesday night, October 1st. Listen here as the vice presidential candidates debate issues important to you.
Go to the polls as a parent. You should have more power.
A belief that one person can make a difference.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. Special coverage starts at 7:45 p.m. Then listen to the CBS vice presidential debate live at 8, Tuesday, October 1st, here on your local Civic Media radio station. There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches, it's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking, what's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first, the Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why, because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
That stuff, obviously, everybody's going to remember.
Welcome back on a Monday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. We are going to be in full force at World Dairy Expo this week. The competitions started on Saturday. The trade show kicks off tomorrow on Tuesday, and the entire expo goes until Friday at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. The show welcomes more than 2,000 cows, more than 2,000 international attendees, and nearly 1,500 youth contestants. The Midwest Farm Report team will be sharing stories from World Dairy Expo here on the morning show, also at MidwestFarmReport.com and at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. But if you're at the show, you may also hear familiar voices coming out of the audio billboards on grounds, delivering show updates and other information. The Midwest Farm Report team is proud to be a four-star sponsor of Expo, and as part of that partnership, we've created the audio experience that has become part of Expo's signature soundtrack. Today kicks off the International Jersey, Ayrshire, and International Milking Shorthorn shows. This weekend, Wisconsin youth had a few winners in some of the youth contests. Alexis Blankenberg from Platteville topped the senior female division at the youth fitting contest. This is when contestants get 1 hour to prepare their animal to be show ring ready. Wisconsin youth also shined in the World Dairy Expo Youth Showmanship Contest. Congratulations, Brady McConnell of Lancaster for topping the junior division, Kayla Trustum from Evansville for winning the intermediate level, and Tyler Luke from Pulaski has won the senior division. We'll have these posted at MidwestFarmReport.com. While we're paying attention to the cows in the show ring today at World Dairy Expo, researchers are paying attention to cows in a way we may not expect. They're analyzing their burps. At UW-Platteville, researchers are using high-tech tools to track cow gases and how it affects their health. Charity Seebecker has the story.
Dr. Ryan Prawley, Assistant Professor of Animal, Dairy, and Veterinary Sciences at UW-Platteville, explains how this innovative research that he's doing is transforming the future of dairy farming.
My research program is focused on automated milking systems and leveraging them as a nutrition tool for dairy cows. So our main interest is to see how we can precisely feed these cows through the automated milking systems and what ramifications that's going to have on the cow's productivity, efficiency, sustainability.
And so take me through then the actual grain feed machine itself. Tell me how it works. Explain to our listeners what it actually is and how it is measuring cow burps.
The grain feed is a big green box that the cows can voluntarily visit through the day, much like they visit the automated milking system. And when they walk up to it, the box recognizes who she is. And if she has permission, it drops a little bit of feed for her. And while she's waiting there and munching, she's exuding, burping gas through her nose and mouth, and a pipe in the box pulls it up and runs it through an analyzer to measure four different gases: methane, hydrogen, CO2, and oxygen.
It's giving you that data, but what is that data doing for you? You have it. How are you actually using it to kind of calculate that speed of what kind of gas is coming out of him and what is doing to our environment?
So by her visiting multiple times a day, we get a really good sample of how much gas she is using or expelling from her mouth. And that gives us some insight on what the chemistry of the rumen is, how much fermentation is going on, and the profile of fermentation. Obviously, by measuring CO2 and methane, we're directly getting an idea of greenhouse gases that could be emitted that we can relate to her productivity and efficiency. But we also get some information about the cow's energetics, and with the oxygen, CO2 data, see what she might be metabolizing, what energetic state she might be in. And that gives us more and more insights into this precision nutrition format, making sure we're matching the needs of the cows with our individually tailored feeding program.
This is pretty new. So how long do you plan to track all of this, and what are you comparing it to? You mentioned greenhouse gas emissions, but kind of paint that picture for us. We've started it. Where's it going?
So what's really nice about the green feed is that it works 24/7, whether I'm here or not. So it's sitting there right in front of the pen, and the cows are visiting it 365 days, 24 hours a day, and we're constantly monitoring these emissions. What we're comparing it to is we have multiple treatments going on in our research pen where we are going to be comparing different nutritional interventions as well as management strategies and see how they relatively affect the gas emissions, the energetic metabolism of the cow, and see if we're making some pretty significant impacts.
And you mentioned you're changing the nutrition. So what feed are you giving them, or can you explain just a little bit about the rations or just how that is differing?
So the main thing that we're doing right now that's part of a USDA grant that funded the purchase of the green feed is we are looking at two things. First, how fast we can ramp cows up and how much pellet we provide them after they calve to make sure that we're meeting their energetic needs for milk production and preventing health disorders like ketosis. And then we're looking at the ratio of how much pellet we feed a cow per pound of milk or per pound of energy corrected milk to make sure that we're getting some nice one-to-one matches and actually being more efficient with the nutrients we're feeding the animal, not only in the green feed through the gas emissions, but also looking at fecal and urine excretions.
How are the students here at UW-Platteville being involved in this and helping to analyze this data with you?
The students are really the workhorses here. They come out with me 7 days a week collecting samples and helping maintain a lot of our equipment that we have out here for research. And I got to tell you, they're really excited. The burp box, it's a fun thing to say. It's a fun thing to work with. And it's thankfully a pretty hands-off tool, but the students love helping maintain it and working on all the projects.
That's Dr. Ryan Prawley, Assistant Professor of Animal, Dairy, and Veterinary Sciences at UW-Platteville, along with us. As he continues to lead innovative research, it's clear that even the smallest details, like a cow's burp, can have a big impact on the future of farming. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together Conference is November 5th through 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit DairyGirlNetwork.com. Registration deadline is October 8th.
Fire up the grills, gather around the table, and build a bigger appetite for pork. Celebrate National Pork Month by making pork the MVP of your tailgate. Every bite of pork you and your family enjoys comes from farmers who take pride in raising a wholesome, high-quality product. Learn more about how farmers are committed to raising animals the right way by visiting WPPA.org. While you're there, check out recipes and where you can source local pork. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
Our commodity prices started out lower this morning, but the wheat price is turning around now. Cash wheat is sitting neutral at $5.80 a bushel. July 2025 new crop wheat is up a half a cent at $6.16¾. December corn is trading down 0.75¢ at $4.17¼. November soybeans are down 10 cents, trading at $10.55¾. The soybean harvest has seen a relatively early start this year. Earl Pellick, a grain merchandiser out of Exonia, says so far he's noticed a smaller yield than normal. Part of it is due to the large amounts of rain this growing season that damaged low spots in fields.
The thing that we have noticed is in those low spots, those wet spots, basically immature beans, green beans being the main issue that we've ran into early on. With that, we basically have seen some smaller beans that have, you know, that when you shake it through, those will come through. However, it's few and far in between, I would say, at this point. But that should go away as, you know, as we get further into the season and, you know, the beans have a little bit more time to mature. So we are already kind of seeing a decrease in that. It was really in those early maturity beans or those low spots that we've had that concern.
Earl Pellick is a grain originator out of Exonia. In other agribusiness news today, if your organization has an idea to build the skills of dairy students, support dairy producers, or increase public trust in dairy, you could get up to $10,000 to make it happen. The money comes from Dairies Foundation. The deadline to apply is December 1st, and you can find all of the application materials at MidwestFarmReport.com. Now let's take a look at our dairy markets on a Monday morning. From Chicago, the October Class 3 milk contract is trading down 6 cents at $23.06 a hundredweight. The November Class 3 milk contract is down 18 cents at $22.31 a hundredweight. And if we look ahead to the December Class 3 milk price, that is trading down 14 cents at $21.13 a hundredweight. The Class 3 milk price goes to make cheese, which really got kicked last week. On the close Friday, barrel cheese closed down at 10¼ cents at $2.29¾, and the 40-pound block cheese closed down 3½ cents at $2.11. You're not going to want to go anywhere. We are talking to a dairy nutritionist next. He's going to give us a look at the corn silage quality coming off the ground now.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Spoiler alert, both major political parties are trying to minimize the impact of voters choosing third-party candidates in the 2024 election. What could fix the spoiler effect and allow third-party candidates to still compete? Ranked choice voting. CBS News and the Wall Street Journal report that Green Party candidate Jill Stein accepted in-kind assistance from Republican-affiliated lawyers to keep herself on the ballot in Wisconsin and be restored to the ballot in Nevada in hopes of siphoning off votes from Kamala Harris. Earlier this summer, Democrats sued to keep Robert F. Kennedy Jr. off the ballot in 5 states. Though he suspended his candidacy, Kennedy remains on the ballot in 33 states. Ranked choice voting allows third-party candidates like Stein, Kennedy, and Libertarian Chase Oliver to compete without the spoiler effect. Voters could, for example, rank Stein first, Harris second, and Oliver third. In ranked choice, if a candidate has a 50% plus one majority, he or she wins outright. If there is no 50% plus one majority, the lowest vote getter is eliminated, voter second choices are used, and totals are recalculated. The process continues until the winning candidate reaches a 50% plus one majority. Only Alaska and Maine will use ranked choice for presidential voting this year, but 5 states are considering RCV ballot measures in November. We have more on ranked choice at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Dan Davies and Craig Kennett talk about their giant spider invasion event. And
the lovable producer Connor will give a full report after watching in person the green and gold take on the purple people eaters.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Harvest, starting with the quality of the crop.
The corn is just really variable. If there's any sign of nitrogen deficiency or tar spot or other things that would, some antagonists in the field, it's starting to dry really quickly. I mean, I was into some fields yesterday where we had some stuff that was coming in that was, it was just pure brown. And then there, it was right along with some stuff that was 67, 68% moisture. So what I'm seeing is it's highly variable. Some farms that we looked at yesterday too, if they're on a south-facing slope and get a lot of sun, they're drying down a lot faster than the stuff that's on like a north-facing slope. It's starting to turn that pale green and it's ready. So people are, a client told me yesterday that some of their corn has dropped, that's on a south-facing slope, has dropped 2 points of moisture a day. So it's, some of this corn is going really fast and some of it's still green. So it's pretty variable, and that kind of goes along with what we had for planting this year, because planting was really variable because of the wet conditions this spring. So it's kind of all over the board and when people are starting around here and when people are going to be able to finish.
Well, with that being said, you know, if you've got corn that's ready and you go in, you know, and some of it's not, what does that mean for the silage itself when it comes time to feed? If you've got kind of a mixed bag in there, what is that going to look like?
And what we want to do is we want to harvest the driest stuff first. But what often happens is that the driest stuff is also what we end up feeding first, which is the exact opposite of what we want. We want to feed the wettest stuff typically first. So I got a farm I was at yesterday where we were going to get some of the driest stuff off, but then try to blend in some wetter stuff along with it so that when we do have to feed it in, I think, about 6 weeks, that it's not, we're not feeding, you know, 60% moisture stuff. Hopefully we're in the mid-60s. And it'll feed a lot better. So the biggest concern is the starch fermentability. Fiber digestibility doesn't change a whole lot over time, but it's the starch fermentability that really changes. So that's the biggest concern. So when we get into this drier stuff, making sure that the kernel processing is really good, and we have a shorter length of cut to make sure that it packs well and ferments well.
Any shortfalls do you expect this year in corn silage that maybe planting a cover or another forage this fall could alleviate, or adding even maybe an alternative ingredient to the mix?
With the type of year that we had, with as wet as it was, we're probably going to have some fungal pressure. I think the potential that the amount of water that we had could also affect fiber digestibility. So at least a year or two, it was really hard to get hay off at a good time. So like forage quality is going to be suspect. So if you were sampling hay as it was coming off the field, or have a good idea of what you have in the bunk, be a good idea to know, because we may be limited in how much forage we can feed this year because of quality. Now that's going to depend on variety, and it's certainly farm to farm, but that's something to be watchful for. Is if you're suspecting forage quality issues, then maybe looking at some other, bringing in some other commodities so that you can maintain your production goals with the high milk price that we have.
Are any of your customers finding success with any of these alternatives, whether it be cottonseed, whether it be soybean hulls, or any other commodities that folks might be bringing in?
Kind of my go-to commodity, the dry commodity, is corn gluten feed, especially if we have to, if we're dealing with some poorer quality haylage. We don't get a lot of wet commodities in my area. I mean, the closest thing that we would have is, the type of cranberry waste, but we don't get the sweet corn silage like some areas do. If you do, that could be a good alternative. But our beet pulp is another one, or wet beet pulp is really good if you're in Minnesota. But around here, we just don't have access to those wet commodities. So for us, it's something that's more digestible, like corn gluten, perhaps some soy hulls if it works into the ration. And, you know, corn is cheap, so I think when you get into a ration where the fiber digestibility is a little suspect, but you get really good cud chewing, you can kind of push the starch a little bit. So you don't have to be too afraid, as, and we get into this cooler weather here, to maybe push the starch a little bit as your alternative, and things will be just fine.
What do your customers tend to plant in the fall, if they do at all, to add to the ration?
Mostly just rye. I have a couple farms this year that did rye for the first time to feed the milk cows, and that went well. They were able to get into it earlier enough. I think what we tested was about 16% protein, which I think it feeds a little bit better than a 16%, and they had really good fiber digestibility. So in a ration where we would feed normally really high corn silage through the summertime, adding some rye, I think, helped with the fat test, which is great for this year because that's what's really paying is butterfat. So it's high potassium, high fiber digestibility, and it kind of limits our fat starch in the diet. So rye can be a good option. And then others, you know, they made rye for the heifers, and then some did with their new seeding alfalfa. We had a really, really heavy oat crop. So a lot of that oatlage was chest high, and people made that for dry cows and heifers. It's going to cut back on their straw usage too, because that's kind of how it tested, was more like high protein straw, but they let it get really mature when they harvested it. So yeah, that's how they're kind of using some of these cereal grains. And I do like rye. Triticale is another good option if you're willing to wait to plant your corn in the spring to let it mature a little bit more. But triticale makes really nice feed as well.
Drew Johnson along with us. He's an independent dairy nutritionist with K&S Dairy Consulting, working in western Wisconsin. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Today, you'll meet a scientist whose job is keeping our food supply safer. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Forget scary movies or books. If you want to see something that will shock you into next week, look over the list of recalls, market withdrawals, and safety alerts posted by the Food and Drug Administration. It's a reminder why people like Jennifer Acuff pursue the kind of work they do. Acuff is an assistant professor of food microbiology and safety at the University of Arkansas. With a significant uptick in food recalls lately, Acuff says it's both a safety issue and a food security issue.
There is a massive amount of food waste that happens every year because of recalls and outbreaks in the United States. Food security and food safety are connected because we don't want to feed people unsafe food, but we really don't want to waste food either. So with some of our work, we're going to hopefully lower the number of recalls that are happening every year and the amount of food that has to get tossed out.
Acuff says food safety is baked into the work her students do.
A really good day is being able to see some progress that one of my students has made. Those of us who work at universities are just trying to contribute to the body of knowledge in the area and hopefully set some people up later to do even greater things.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Everybody join us next time as we'll be back from California and be catching up on the news as well as Wisconsin events. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
The Second Amendment is designed to keep the power in this country with the people.
It's not the Second Amendment that preserves power in the people. It's elections, you moron. A dictator like Donald Trump that is a king and immune from prosecution, that is what erodes democracy. Kamala Harris and Uncle Tim Walz, they own guns. Nobody's coming for them. Chillax, Glenn. Get yourself some facts.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Cleaning up after Hurricane